Winona Forever is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more podcasts about movies and nostalgia, head on over to cageclub.me. Hi, I'm Lindsay Gibb.
And I'm Rekha Tulsaram.
And this is Winona Forever. Oh, well, hey, everyone. This is maybe the episode some of you have been waiting for. In fact, it's possible some of you have not listened to any of our episodes until now. So welcome to those of you who have not listened to us before. We're Winona Forever, Rekha and Lindsay. And we're going to talk about Stranger Things, just season one
today.
Cutting this up into different seasons. I haven't watched season three yet, so I don't know. It's hard to Google this right now because there's
you're gonna
things
get spoilers
that I'm trying to avoid seeing. So
I will shut my mouth too because I was totally gonna
talk about
everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. No, I mean, thanks for not talking about those things. Season one, if you're listening to this just because you listen to our podcast and haven't watched Stranger Things, we'll explain that Stranger Things is a TV show set in the 80s. I think it's the early 80s. Mm-hmm. And it's a bunch of kids that play Dungeons and Dragons. And I guess their families and extended people that live in the town. But the basic premise is that one of the kids goes missing and
1983.
Thank you.
The first season.
Yes. Nice. And one of the kids goes missing and his mother, Winona Ryder, Joyce, is desperate to find him and very certain that he's still alive while other people are like, no, he's probably dead. And that's the gist of it. There's lots of supernatural things happening. We'll talk about all those weird things and lots of other characters that come into it. So
I have the theme song in my head.
Yeah, it's very good. I really like the opening, like,
it's so good
music with the visuals of the credits.
Winona has first credit.
She deserves it.
When I first saw it the first time, I like screamed. I was so excited.
Just the opening part?
The opening part, like seeing her name, and I was like, there was something so like obviously nostalgic about the show that it was just like, yes, she's back. I think I posted on like Instagram, like, this show was made for me.
That sounds like something. I feel like I saw that.
Yeah.
Like, they made it for me.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Duffer Brothers.
I think I felt that way, too.
I'm sure the Duffer Brothers are, like, our age.
Yeah.
They have to be
80s fanatic.
80s kids, you know?
I was thinking about the kids, like, who play the kids in this, and that if they were real kids who were that age in 83, they're older than us.
Yes.
They're like in their almost 50s.
They're like, yeah,
by now.
They're like the Stand By Me kids age, or, you know, the Goonies kids age.
Except in Stand By Me was like, what, the 60s or something? So like, I'm just saying, like, if they were whatever age
they
were, 11 or something in 83, they're like
in their 40s.
Oh, yeah. Almost 50 probably right now. So.
Older than us.
Yellow. Anyway, I rewatched this for this because I hadn't watched it since it first was on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And I forgot a lot of things. And I also forgot how I felt about a lot of characters because my feelings for them evolved over the two seasons that I've watched.
Yeah, yeah.
And for instance, I really like the sheriff or whatever he is, the chief. But I hated him right at the beginning. He was a jerk.
Maybe
the first two episodes.
Yeah.
He was a jerk and then he got
better. When he realized that Joyce was right.
Will's body was a fake. You were right. This whole time you were right.
In that episode where...
Oh my God, that episode was so good.
And then he goes to her and he's like, oh shit,
you were right all along. I think I wrote it down because I was like, yes! Because that episode, I mean, skipping ahead to an episode that I don't even know, could have been 3, could have been 4. I think I wrote it down, but it was an episode 4. I said this was an episode where women were being proven right because the crappy cops didn't believe anybody. Like the two cops that work with the sheriff or chief, whatever he is. I think they call him chief all the time. They're kind of crappy. Like they just kind of are. I'm sure they don't have cases like this to deal with all the time. So they're slightly lazy in their policing. So they don't seem like they believe people. Of course, everything that's happening is weird and supernatural. So of course they don't believe anybody. But yeah, they're just like not really listening to Nancy, I think, in episode 4. Mm-hmm. And Nancy is Michael's sister. And I don't know. You really have to have watched the show to listen to this episode because we're just going to name off characters. But yeah, so I think like Nancy realizes that she's... knows what that monster Barb, is, and they like look photo, at it and what's happened to Barb. Joyce has seen the monster and has talked about it, and then 11, the boys don't really believe her that Will is alive and stuff, and particularly Lucas is being really shitty to her about it. And so like it's this episode where all these women are saying this is what's happening, and all these men are saying you're crazy.
Yep.
We can't believe you. We can't trust you. And then I think it ends with like them being proven right and the chief saying like, you were right. You were right all along.
Yeah.
And I was just like, thank God, the relief of that.
Yeah, because Eleven uses like she'll use the radio and hears Will talking to Joyce on the radio. And then what's his name? Hopper finds the body and realizes it's a dummy.
Yes.
The same episode right when all the women are like, yo, listen, this is weird, and we're telling you it's weird, and then they have to, you know, get the evidence to believe them.
Mm-hmm. I think this is the turnaround for Hopper, too, because at the beginning he was like...
It's hard,
not listening to his secretary. Like, the secretary was like, Joyce has been calling, and he's like, ugh. And then she's like, oh, but you don't understand. She's in your office type thing. And then he's like, oh, I have to deal with this.
When I watched it for the first time, I really liked it, and then I read reviews, and there was one review that someone, like, that really didn't like Winona.
Don't look at me like that.
What?
Like how everybody is looking at me like I'm out of my damn mind.
Hey.
Didn't like her acting.
People didn't like Winona's acting.
And they said something like, how could she be a mother when she pronounces it like crayons or something like that? You know, they were just like really picking her apart. But when I watched it the second time, she was so good. And I was like, what the fuck is everyone talking about?
Yes.
Like, she was really, really, really good. And like, she nailed it. Like, she was like... a mother, like, not giving up on, like, finding out where her son was.
Yeah, and like, being completely, like, single-minded in her, like, search for her son. And doing things, even though they seemed crazy, like buying all those Christmas lights and the telephone, because her telephone
got
burnt
out. And she was so nice to 11, and, like, she was really, like...
Oh, my God, when she's nice to 11, it's the best. Yes. She's the best mother!
She's so good.
I think I wrote notes about that too. When like, so I think it's like maybe the last episode or the second last episode of the season when Eleven's like, I can't see Will or what's her name?
Barb.
Thank you. Yeah. So basically, Eleven is psychic or something. She has like telepathic powers. She can move things. She can see things. And so they're like, can you see them again or communicate with them? And so she tries and says, I'm sorry, I can't see them. And then realizes that if she goes into this like
sensory deprivation
kind of thing, she could do it. So they set up this big pool for her to do this in. And like, yeah, Winona's not like a lot of characters would be going like, anything for my son, like just do this for my son, like do it whether it hurts you or not, I don't care, we just need to find him. But she was like, if you're ever scared, you can stop this at any time, I'm gonna be right here for you. She's being very much the opposite of Matthew Modine's character, which is like her, I don't know, kind of dad.
Pseudo dad.
Probably not really
not
her
real dad.
Yeah.
Just some man,
the
scientist.
Government guy who experiments on her basically as a weapon.
Yep.
Yeah. Matthew Modine back again because he was directed the Roy Orbison music video that Winona was in. There you go. Back again,
Matthew Modine. There's a song by this band called Pony Up from Montreal. Oh, Matthew. There's still a band, but we're in 2002.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely, when I watched this the first time too, there was so much talk about Winona and how she wasn't good. Like, and I think I never heard the specifics of like criticizing her as a mom, mm-hmm. which is just shit. But yeah, I heard mostly like she was too over the top. She was too like turned up.
Will? Will?
Oh, Will?
What have you done to my boy? What? Give me that
money. But like, she's a woman whose son went missing. Yeah. Like, what else would she be like?
That's it. That's her turned up. Like, you yeah. would be turned up.
Sure. I mean, I'm sure lots of people react very differently. Some people sure. would like shut down completely, but like,
that's her reaction. It's like, it's real.
Realistic yeah, that it's she fine. Would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like turned up acting. I don't mind yeah. when people are big.
And like Winona generally doesn't act big. So that's yeah. also like
different for her.
Yes.
So good.
It's very nice.
It's very nice. I was thinking before coming into doing this episode that we don't have a guest, which I thought was weird because for any of the like big movies, people wanted to be on it. Mm-hmm. But when I talked to people like Soraya, for instance, Soraya was like, I hated her in Stranger Things. So I was like, well, I don't want you on the episode. And like, no offense, but like, I just feel like yeah. I heard so much dislike of Winona that I just didn't want to.
You know, I know. I think I might know somebody for another Stranger Things.
Yeah, of course. We have two more.
Yeah.
At least. And a fourth whenever that happens.
She does the Riverdale podcast.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Well, then she likes turned up acting.
We'll see.
I'm into it.
she's into it.
But yeah, I mean, fine. We could talk about the fact that people didn't like her, but I just don't want to investigate that too hard because I think they're wrong. And I think we should just talk about how great we think she is and celebrate it.
Absolutely. We're looking at her little pop figure.
Yeah. Choice. Her whatever these things are called. The toys. Funko Pop. I have the Joyce Funko Pop and I brought her to the podcast tapings so that we can hang out with Joyce.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, she's holding something in her hand that I don't understand, and maybe it's from season 3, and that's why I don't understand.
Oh, I know what they are.
You know what they are? Is it season 3? Or is it just...
Actually, don't know what that is.
Do you think it's just goo from, like, the...
It's a little in the heart with wings.
Upside
and a
down
little,
or something?
A little animal and a flower. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, what the heck? Okay. If anybody knows what Joyce is holding, call us.
Call us.
Tweet at us or, you know, message us on Instagram.
Call my direct line.
I guess we have a Winona email, but I don't remember what it is. It's probably...
Winona Forever at something. It's at the end of the credits somewhere.
Kidsclub.me or whatever, but yeah. I'm sure. Yeah, listen to the end of the credits. Tell us that. Tell us what Joyce is holding, what the Funko Pop Joyce is holding. But if it's season 3, warn me that there's a spoiler because I don't want to know. Though I will have to watch it soon because we're going to record that episode shortly.
Yes.
Yeah, Steve is another one who starts off really terrible. And gets then, better.
Oh, he gets so good.
People love Steve.
I love him so much.
I heard in season 3 he's especially like everybody's favorite.
Yeah.
But yeah, he started off as a terrible person, or his friends were really terrible and he was pretty much like that.
Yeah. And he just kind of went along with it. Oh, but he's a good boy.
He's a good boy. I like that. Oh dear. Yeah, I liked rewatching this too because it was nice to go back to the whole mystery because, you know, after you've watched it, you kind of know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so it was nice to go back to the beginning and remember that it was like, what the heck is going, like, what's the deal with Eleven? She's just a person who shows up and you're like, who the hell are you and what is going on with you? It's pretty good.
Yeah, everything's good. The kids are such good actors too.
Yeah, somebody said that in Is it season three or are they talking about It? Because wasn't he also in It, the Wolf. Michael?
Yeah.
Somebody was saying that the kids acting, I think they were talking about season three because they said that everybody except, oh God, I should look at their names because.
Finn Wolfhard is the guy who plays Mike.
Right.
He's the Canadian boy who's in It.
Correct.
His acting got better.
Got better in.
Will, they cast him so well. He looks so much like Winona. Like, they have the same little face and like, he looks like Winona's son. Jonathan, I don't know what he looks like, but he's also Winona's son.
I think I originally, when I first watched the first season, thought that Finn, the guy who plays Mike, would have made a good Winona's son. Like his face was decent for that. But somebody I was talking to said that the kids' acting wasn't good in season three, that only Dustin was still good. But I haven't watched it, so I don't know. Gonna find out. Anyway. Talking about season one, not season three.
There's this whole Dungeons and Dragons thing. So the kids get together, they play Dungeons and Dragons, and it becomes kind of like how they explain all the mystery going around, like the upside down. That's when Eleven's looking at the board and it kind of explains where Will is. And she's like, underneath this board here.
Yeah, they were so good at deciphering what she was talking about because she barely said anything.
Yeah.
Mike especially was really good at it, which is, I guess, why she had such a connection.
And
with
like
him.
The big bad, which is a Buffy reference, but like the big bad is the Demogorgon, which is from a Dungeons and Dragons reference,
right?
Somewhere. Barb and Nance, they're the.
I know it was such so a good nice duo. To watch this again because I was like, oh Barb, we get Barb back.
Yeah, I love. There was a hashtag like "Where's Barb" for a while. I think.
Did you ever see the rap that somebody recorded, that Rest in Peace Barb song?
No idea.
Oh my God, it's so good. I just watch it every now and then. Nice. It's a good song.
I only got eyes for one chick, Barb looking sexy in those glasses and cheese stick. I'm trying to hit
R.I.P. Rest in Peace Barb. I'm sorry that monster rolled up on you so hard. R.I.P. Rest in peace, Barb. I'm sorry that monster rolled up on you.
We have a Barb
so
magnet on our fridge. On our fridge. That. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Just to remember like Barb. Yeah. Barb gets sucked into the upside down and never comes out.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
She dies in the upside down, I guess.
She dies, yeah.
Does she ever appear in another season?
The Demogorgon gets
like
her.
Like as a flashback?
I think there is a flashback.
Okay.
With Barb, but.
She's just in Riverdale that I know of.
That's right. Maybe there was no flashback. Maybe
you just saw her in Riverdale.
I was like, we see her again
it's
in Riverdale.
Netflix show. yes, I definitely wrote down Barb! Exclamation point. Just as a like, I'm so happy to have Barb back again. I think watching so many like true crime things like I do, when Barb was like, leaving the party or like whatever the get together and she's like just go home and then she goes and sits outside all by herself, I'm like, don't do that, Barb. Like, even if a Demogorgon's not coming to get you, like
don't sit
just
at the end of a pool diving board by yourself,
right,
in
also,
the cold.
How cold was it? They were wearing like winter coats.
No, I think when like, the oh yeah, you're right.
And like they went in the water.
Maybe it's a heated pool.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Good point. Your face is so good. Uh-huh. That's right.
I was like, must be nice to be Steve Arendt with a heated pool.
Yeah. Steve.
the names are so good too. Steve, Nancy, Barb.
I mean, it's
like,
so 80s.
It's so 80s. Their outfits, their style. Nailed it. Good. Yeah. It's so good.
Mike and Nancy's poor mother, like they're just missing all the time. Like, and a child in their neighborhood was, well, they all think killed. So, like, wouldn't she just be like dying at all times throughout this? Like, where are my kids?
Mike and Nancy's parents don't seem to really care where their children are.
Mom does a bit. The dad doesn't.
No,
he's like the most nonchalant guy.
Yeah, they're just like, he's out somewhere, you know, and.
Don't worry about it. It's our government. We should trust them.
Yep.
Yeah. When Matthew Modine comes and says, do you trust me? Of course, that's like a thing where everybody at home is going, don't trust him. Yeah. And she's like, yes, I trust you. I trust you. so much good music in this, not just the theme music, but like the songs they choose. I think I wrote down, like, it was Peter Gabriel doing Heroes at the end of one episode. It sounded like it was Heroes, but it wasn't Bowie.
Oh,
it sounded like Peter Gabriel.
I wish I could swim like dolphins. Like dolphins can swim.
I need to look it up and see if that's who it was, but this is what it sounded like. There's been lots of things where I was like, ah, oh, good song.
Nice
song.
I like that. Like, the there was one scene where they're on their bikes and running, and I was like, that's like obviously a reference to E.T., but it was like so good. It was such a good bike chase.
Oh, yeah. This is like, this does all the nostalgia just right for all the 80s kids. It's
like, and having Steve as like the older, like Brandon character for, like, from the Goonies, who's helping the younger kids like stay out of trouble. But then he has his own thing with like Andy from the Goonies, or Nancy. And so they have, it's very, very good.
You're like, it's got it down. They've watched nailed all the it. 80s yep. movies. They know.
Yeah.
They've got everything. Lonnie, Joyce's estranged husband.
Yes.
Who she has to phone up. And then just when people, I think it's kind of just when Jonathan figures out that his mom's not crazy, because he keeps saying that you like need to just go home and accept that he's dead or whatever, and she's like, nah, I know that he's not. And then I think at the same time that Jonathan's figuring out that she's right and the sheriff is figuring out that she's right, Lonnie shows up and is like, I'm gonna help the family. This estranged guy who didn't have time for his kids or her, I'm gonna help you guys. And then that's super frustrating. He's there for the funeral, and I was frustrated that at the funeral, everybody was walking up to him and giving him condolences.
Of course.
And nobody was talking to her. She was just standing there looking at the grave all aggrieved. And I'm just like, what the fuck?
He wasn't even there. He's just like taking all the credit or whatever.
Even when I don't remember who the guy was. There was some like bit part guy who showed up for a second, and he'd like maybe seen something or whatever. And he was at the sheriff's office and was like saying what he'd seen, and then that he'd seen a kid. I think he'd seen 11 at the diner and mentioned it, and then the sheriff was like, did it look like Will or whatever? And then he's like, oh, Lonnie's kid. And he's like, no, not Lonnie's kid. And then they just kept talking about him, Lonnie's kid. And I'm like, screw you guys. Like, where's Lonnie been?
We all know
these
Lonnie
years?
But like, it's Joyce's kid.
Yeah.
Winona's like wall Christmas light thing. That was pretty
amazing. So smart
and famous. Made this show.
I think people were her for Halloween that year, and they had like a light thing behind, like the lights with the alphabet or whatever, like as a prop. It is very iconic.
Yeah, she communicated to her son, who was in the Upside Down, through Christmas lights nailed to her wall in the form of the alphabet, and it worked.
Yeah. She also had Christmas lights running through all the hallways as
everywhere.
If, like, I think they lit up depending on where he was in the room, so she could kind of follow it.
Yeah, they all thought she was, you know, out of her mind communicating with light, like with all the lamps and stuff, but, like, she was right.
She was right. She was right all along.
All along.
As the chief said. when I wrote down for that was episode 3. I wrote Christmas lights app. So good. And then I also said, I like that she has no time for her boss. She just goes in. And I think this is after maybe she'd got the phone, like maybe the episode before, and she had to like explain to him, like, look, my kid's missing. Like, I've worked for you so hard all these years. You need to give me a 2-week advance and this phone. And he was like, of course. Even though at first he was kind of tentative about it. Like, I have to pay these other people. Then she shows up with all these Christmas lights, like literally just like all of his Christmas lights. And then she's just like, come on. Like, she's just like, just do it.
Yeah. Just no time to like. Nothing. Ask. She's like, fuck her. I don't have time for this. Just give me the lights.
She's so good at advocating for herself and her kids. She's just like, I don't care about all of you guys. Mm-mm. I got to do this. Mm-hmm. She's so strong. Everybody's got a problem with her acting in this, but she's just a very strong woman.
Yep.
So good. So happy to have this Winona in her repertoire. Yeah, I've written down some songs. An Echo in the Bunnyman song ends an episode, and then Corey Hart's Sunglasses at Night starts another one. Just playing in the car.
I wear my sunglasses at night so I can, so
I guess when they first meet Eleven, the kids, it was very much like when they first, when Elliot first discovers E.T. and they're like, you know, this is how you eat. This is how you talk. You don't do this.
This is what this means. Yeah. Like, this is what trust or whatever. It wasn't trust. It was promise. What promise means. I had completely forgotten. Like, I'd remembered that they'd gone to see a woman who, like, couldn't speak anymore and was just, like, kind of a vegetable or whatever, like, sitting there in her living room who had lost her child and that they assumed it was 11 stolen from her. But I'd forgotten the whole MK Ultra aspect of it.
Yeah.
That they said that she was, like, part of that experiment where she was given LSD and stuff and that. That they think the baby was like a product of that, and that's why they took the baby because they knew the baby had special powers because it was part of that experiment.
Yeah, I think they must have given her other stuff apart from like LSD and you know, did something and like taken the baby and made her, you know, fucked her up, and then
yeah. I was like, wow, how did I not even like? Maybe I didn't even notice that aspect. Like I knew that they were like, we've figured out that this woman is right. Another right woman who everybody thinks is
that they've shut
out of
up.
Her mind. Yeah. And they believe her, but that's all I remembered about that. And I kind of feel like, I don't know if I hadn't heard of MK Ultra at the first time, first watch or what. I don't know. Because I've watched some documentary or some, I think Netflix had a dramatized thing with the, what's his name? Sarsgaard that was in...
Peter.
The Winona. The other Winona.
Experimenter.
Yeah, the experimenter. He played a guy who, a real guy who died because of the MK Ultra experiments or whatever. Anyway, that is also good. I recommend it. Don't remember what it's called? Go find it. What do you think of Winona's hair in this?
I mean...
It's accurate for the time, yeah, it works. It's kind of a mullet.
It's a kind of mullety?
It's slightly mullety. Yeah. It's not a full-on mullet. It's just slightly.
Semi-mullet.
Semi-mullet, but...
Yeah, it's, you know, her look is pretty standard. She wears, I don't think she changes at all during the whole series. I don't know.
I mean, her house...
Jeans.
Just gets
a
messier.
Flannel, a shirt, and her scraggly hair.
Yes.
But, you know, she's trying.
Well, yeah, she's otherwise occupied trying to figure out her son. Yes. Stuff with that. I also love the science teacher that they keep calling up for help.
He's so good. He just gives them all the information. He just, like, is so into them and their curiosity about science that he's just like, sure, kids, you do whatever you need to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll help you figure out how you'd get into an alternate universe if you needed to.
Theoretically,
yeah. Sure. They're always like...
He's like, I'm just in the middle of dinner, but sure, I'll spend half an hour telling you all about this stuff. And he literally says that. Like, he's just like, you know, I'm really busy, but...
But sure, okay.
Sure.
Yeah, there was one time they called him when they were trying to make the deprivation tank for 11. Yeah. He's on a date and he's showing horror movie to his date who's totally creeped out. And he's telling the date how they made like the creepy, like, that's bubblegum and melted plastic. And she's like, really? Just like, this guy's amazing. Yeah. And then
he gets the call. And he's like, can this wait?
Yeah,
and
exactly. Like, it's like 10 p.m. I'm on a salmon.
Theoretically, how would I make a sensory deprivation?
He's like, this could wait till Monday. And he's like, no, but you always told us to be curious. Why are you killing her curiosity? And he's like, okay, I'll tell you. They're so, I mean, as stressful as the whole thing is with them obviously looking for they're as stressful as the whole thing is with them obviously looking for their lost friend and like the mystery of what's going on and the danger that they're constantly in, they're like delightful at like their relationships with each other and with their teacher and like it's just there's enough of those delightful moments to make this not a completely stressful thing to watch.
They're good characters.
They are very good characters. And I do very much enjoy Hopper getting on board and helping.
He's kind of like the grumpy old kind of Harrison Fordy kind of character who's like,
you're totally right.
And then he's like, you know, give me money. And then he's like suddenly like, oh, I don't care about money. You know, I'll help you guys. You know, he just like,
yeah,
and he's a good guy.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has a history of like his daughter dying and him like escaping the big city cop thing. So clearly he was like, I came to this town for quiet and to not have to work very hard. And now suddenly I have to work hard. But then he realizes that he can do something good if he works hard. So he gets into it. And apparently, I don't know, they allude to the fact that maybe he dated Joyce briefly at some point. It seems like they allude to the fact that Hopper made it maybe dated almost everybody in town.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, but he's, I don't know. He's very nice to Joyce after he says that whole, you were right all along thing, which I'm just going to quote constantly because it's my favorite. Yeah. That I'm like, I'm in love with him now. You know who I loved the first time around and he's barely in it? Is the diner guy who helped Eleven. I was like, I love this man. And then
pop
got killed. Yeah. That was sad. And then he turned out to be a guy that's on This Is Us. He looks nothing the same. Like I thought he was cute in Stranger Things, but I'm not into him on This Is Us. But I was like, is this the same guy? I can't believe it.
Oh, wow.
It. Yeah. Anyway, that's a thing.
Okay.
That's a truth. I wrote down Winona and Matthew Modine. She's a badass. I don't really remember her encounter with Matthew Modine, and it was in the last episode that I watched. What did she do? Was he trying to gain her trust and she was like, fuck you, I don't trust you? Or was he clearly, I don't know.
Damn. Winona and Matthew Modine?
Yeah. I wrote Winona and Matthew Modine. She's a badass.
I think she must have said something to him. I have no idea.
Yeah, she must have, but I don't remember what it was now.
Because he just disappeared. I don't remember him dying.
Who, Matthew Modine?
Yeah.
Did he die? Or did it just seem like he died? That when they were, when the, okay.
No, he like ran away or something.
You know what? They're questioning Winona. Because remember, so they go, they all go to the school and do the deprivation tank thing.
Yes,
and then they sort of split off. So Winona and Hopper leave, which I wrote down. That is a bad idea. Why are you leaving all the kids by themselves? Yeah. But okay.
It's fine.
So they go, I think, to the station or something and then get apprehended. Like maybe on purpose
They wanted to go into the Upside Down. So they needed to get into the lab.
Right.
Yes.
So then I think Matthew Modine was questioning her and she was like, look, I don't care about any of your crap. Like my son is missing. You're pretending that he's dead. Like, no, I'm not helping you. You're going to help me. So I think that's what made me be like, she's a badass. And then I wrote Hopper denying everything, also a badass, because I think they were like basically saying, you saw this, you know this. And he's like, I don't know anything. I don't know what you're talking about. And then he said something to the effect of like he told someone from like the Times or whatever, and that if anything happens to him, that the whole story is going to get out. And he was great also. But yeah, Nancy and Jonathan also leave and leave the kids all by themselves.
Yes, I noticed that too. I'm like, come on, leave the kids all by themselves.
So I think that's when it seemed like I don't remember if Matthew Modine shows up again in another season. Okay.
Oh, no. I mean, at the end, he shows up and then, the Demigorgon attacks him and seemingly kills him. That's what it says.
Right. Yes. It is very unclear. There's no dead body scene, just an attack of the Demigorgon.
Yes. And then it ends and then we don't know what happens to Eleven. She disappears. She disintegrates.
Disintegrates with the... She says goodbye to Mike only. So clearly she loves Mike.
1 month later, Nancy has got back together with Steve, and right. both are friends with Jonathan.
Right.
Hopper leaves food in a box in the woods.
With Eggos.
With Eggos. So you know. Dun, dun, dun. You know that Eleven's still alive and out there.
Food. Yeah.
And Will coughs up a slug-like creature and has a vision of the Upside Down.
Right. So it's like, is he still connected to it? He's somehow tied to it.
He's still tied to it. So there's still some shit going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the first season ends.
And it's also maybe Christmas time because he, like, Will is like, it's an Atari. Like,
oh, yeah. And there, it's like wintry outside.
My last note is a Woody because that's what Winona says to him. A Woody.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, it's a video game system that one of the friends has or something. And he's like, I think I got it. So at the end, I think one of the great moments in that last episode is when, I mean, it's kind of a Steve sucks, but it's also kind of a funny thing is when Steve like interrupts Nancy and Jonathan's trap for the monster and he like chickens out and leaves, but then he comes back and is heroic. So it's kind of the indicator that maybe Steve is better than he seemed throughout the whole season.
Steve has his bat in this one, right?
Steve what?
His bat?
Yeah. I guess it was in his car maybe he got the bat from? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got his bat. Yeah. What else did I say? Yeah, one weird thing is, so blood is, they realize that blood is what like beckons this Demogorgon thing. So they use that, like,
they
right? Both Nancy and Jonathan cut their hands and wait for it to come. Is there no hospital in this town? Wouldn't the Demogorgon just be there all the time?
Or if there was? Blood. Shh. No, there's no hospital.
There must not be. I mean, certainly people go to the hospital, but it must be outside of the boundaries that this
maybe
Demogorgon
it's out of town. Maybe there's no hospital
in
this small town. They have to like go to like the next town.
They must go to the next town over. Because, the Demogorgon comes when Eleven pops all those people's heads and they're all laying in blood.
Yes.
And then,
maybe it just likes like fresh death. I don't know. Oh, well, then the hospital.
Hospital
too.
Still.
Fresh death.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The question.
Yeah, but I don't think there is a hospital. Have we seen a hospital?
Well, we see Will at the end. He's in the hospital.
Oh, Will is in a hospital, right.
But we don't know where that hospital is.
It's probably in the big city.
Could be in the big city. Winona's great. I love it.
Yep.
And this season was great. I mean, it made me want to keep watching it. I obviously skipped season 3 because of this podcast. It's because
I knew they say Winona Ryder made this like the most popular series on Netflix, like the most watched series on Netflix.
Like her name was the draw of watching it.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And I think we said last episode when we were talking about Show Me a Hero, and that was also set in the 80s, that we were like, maybe there's something about the 80s and Winona that, like, that's just the era that works best for her.
Seems like it. I don't know.
I mean, there's definitely 80s nostalgia happening.
Yeah.
So
it fits
anything.
It fits. And it's just like, oh, yes, of course she's going to be the mom in this 80s
so good
nostalgic film. Or,
of course.
Series.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Stranger Things.
Season 1. When you said you were reading up on the episodes, I didn't. Did you discover anything exciting?
No, I would just, I needed
reading?
To,
oh, just, you know, refresh. Because you rewatched it.
I rewatched
kind of
recently,
recently,
all three of them.
All three. How do you even parse them apart when you...
Well, that's
watch
why I had
them.
To read the summaries of each episode.
Of each,
like,
right.
So I don't go over and be like, what
about this part?
What about the lasagna scene? And exactly.
The lasagna scene. I don't know what that is.
I know.
Is it in season 2 or 3?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly
I've
why
seen
I had to
season
look.
2, but again, it was like when it came out, so I forget.
I think Winona was nominated for the Golden Globe for this one.
Good for her.
And
she's. Didn't get it.
Millie Bobby was nominated for a Screen Actors Award. 11.
She deserves it.
But no, yeah, they were just both nominated. I don't think they got it. But Stranger Things won that award.
Oh, the one where Winona's making the weird faces all through the speech.
The face speech.
The face speech. Do you know what that was about?
I watched the whole thing in its entirety.
Yeah.
And it's not as bad as when you just watch the that little clip.
Yeah.
But she's just really reactive to everything he's saying. And if you focus on it, then it's, right. You know, it's really funny, but.
It almost seems like she's reacting in a "what are you saying" kind of way.
Yeah, like she was reading his stuff, like reading his letter, and kind of like getting excited about whatever he was reading. And I don't know, she was being silly, but
yeah,
maybe slightly, you know, tipsy. Who knows? But
right,
it was still it was good.
It was enjoyable.
That's like those are my facial expressions when I watched the new Little Women trailer.
Oh, really? You're like, what? Oh, what is that? They're doing this? Ooh. How is that?
This person's blonde? You know, it's just like, you know.
How is that happening? Yes.
How is Meg very, you know, Emma Watson? Anyway, it's fine. It's going to be upsetting to watch, but I don't know. I'm so conflicted about watching it. Like, I want to watch it. It's good. It's all good people, but Little Women with Winona Ryder was the best, you know?
Yeah, it's hard. I firmly believe that when they remake things or readapt things, that it doesn't ruin the original.
And I think this is like a
good versions
homage.
Yeah,
to the '94 version.
Oh, that's good
because you know they always make reference, like what Greta's made reference to it, and they, you know, did you see that they interviewed everybody who was in Little Women for the 25th anniversary?
Maybe it was it a little while ago?
Yeah, it was a little while ago, and they interviewed everybody.
I maybe saw Anne posted or something.
Yes, it was an Anne post.
Yes,
and definitely. Tweet. Yeah, it was good. And
I didn't read it.
They all had fun things to say about Little Women. You know, 25 years later, and little facts and stuff. It was
that's
very
good.
Nice. Yes.
Nice.
I think I've already maybe brought it up on the podcast, actually.
Maybe closer to when you saw it originally. One thing we didn't mention last episode, but maybe we didn't realize it at the time, was that our last episode came out the day after Winona's birthday.
Oh, true.
So happy belated.
Mm-hmm. October 29th.
Yep.
1971, Winona Ryder was born.
And now
we celebrate.
We celebrate her on that day every year. Yeah, happy birthday to her. Mm-hmm. I think I had hoped that Stranger Things would come up close to Halloween. It's still relatively close to, I mean, we're like 2 weeks out or something.
November is like a perfect Stranger Things month because it's gloomy.
Yeah.
You know, you just want to stay inside and watch Netflix.
True.
Watch
it's
Stranger
a good thing
things.
To watch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, her birth being so close to Halloween also seems appropriate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So here's to her. Do you know, I tried looking up. So they've announced there's going to be a fourth season of Stranger Things. I have no idea when, though.
Okay.
But you don't know when it's
no,
going to come out?
Okay. No, but I know there is going to be one.
Yeah.
Based on what I've seen.
I tried looking it up and everything was like Stranger Things season 4 and spoilers and stuff. And I was like, I don't want any spoilers. So then I was like trying to scroll through it with like my eyes all blurry until I got to a part where it said like, when is it released? And it basically said like, if they stick to a sort of pattern that they've had, that it might be like next October or something.
No, did Winona didn't do very many interviews or anything
around Stranger Things.
Around Stranger Things, did she?
I didn't look, but I will in time for us to talk about season 2.
Yeah, I don't recall. Like, I mean, she must have. I think she went on some shows like Jimmy
Fallon,
one of the Jimmys,
one of the Jimmys, like
the Jimmys.
a Jimmy
she show,
went on one of those Jimmy shows. Maybe I'm sure I noticed at the time.
Yeah.
I think. It just took me so long to rewatch season 1 that I just finished it yesterday and didn't get a chance to
do any
research.
No, I know. I'm going to look into see what interview, what she's saying about this.
What's she saying?
What are you saying, Winona? What you saying, girl?
I love it. But our next episode isn't going to be Stranger Things season 2.
No.
It's going to be all the TV episodes,
yes.
Guest appearances
Hello.
She's made. So we've got to make a list and go watch those.
We got Friends.
I'm sure you've seen them, but
Simpsons,
Strangers with Candy?
Strangers with... Oh, yes. That's a good one.
I'm looking really forward to that. I haven't seen it. Dr. Katz, did we say
yes,
that?
Yes. No, we didn't. Oh, okay. Dr. Katz. And... Well, she's in. I don't know. There must be something
else. We'll
see.
We'll find some other stuff. Yeah. We'll do it. We'll do it up.
Check it out.
So, yeah, come back for that, and then we'll talk about season two, the following Winona Wednesday. So.
We're running out of things to watch, guys.
Yeah, we really are. We got two more seasons of this and that
Destination
Wedding movie.
Winona, get cracking, girl.
Make something else. And then I guess we'll have to revisit that TV movie that we missed that someone sent us the link to watch it. So we'll get to that eventually. We have to do that one. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
You seem like bummed by it. <I don't know. laughs> Might be good. You never know. All right.
Okay.
Cool. See you next one on Wednesday.
Bye.
Winona Forever is part of the Cage Club Podcast Network. Episodes produced by Chris Landry. Music by No Refunds. Hosted by Lindsay Gibb and Rekha Tulsaram. Contact Rekha and Lindsay at winona@cageclub.me.